Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 192, episode 1 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say up top, fuck all those faith-based healthcare plans they tried to advertise on our show. So this is how we deal with that. It's Tuesday, July 6th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. While Miles rolls a fat blunt, Jack is tracking UFOs. Don't you remember? We built this podcast. We built this podcast, the Daily Zeitgeist. That is courtesy of Brackish Joker. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Ain't nothing but TDZ, baby. Too chugged out, homies going crazy. iHeart is the label that pays, man. Second rate, so please don't try to hate this. And that is from Ravioli God on the Discord. And thank you for reminding us it ain't nothing but a G thing, because it truly is not anything but.
Ain't nothing but a TDZ thing, right?
Would you be caught wearing a shirt like that? I don't think so.
Yeah, that would be so appropriate.
So sad. Oh, no.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by, first of all, very patient. We appreciate that, because there's been tech issues out the gate nonstop from my end, but also a very funny comedy writer and improviser who has been making the original sketch comedy podcast Left Handed Radio since 2010. She's also a senior producer at Forever Dog. Please welcome Anna Rubinova!
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I didn't realize this was a singing podcast, but I am prepared to sing.
Go, yes.
Let's do it.
Which Bernadette Peters song would you like to hear today?
Your choice. Something from Annie?
Dealer's choice. We won't from make you Annie? Say unless you
oh,
really.
Wow. Wow. You're going, wasn't you're she going Annie? For the movies. Yeah, let's just Annie. Guys, we'll forget I ever mentioned it, huh?
Let's
see. What's good, Anna? Where are you coming to us from?
I'm coming to you from sunny Los Angeles, California, USA.
Hey. Yeah, California.
The palm trees today look frizzled. The sky is a beautiful gray.
Oh, wow.
David Lynch. Think that means there's smog.
Right.
Or dust or something. It might explain a lot of breathing problems. But yeah, just another gorgeous day in reality.
Where did you grow up?
Mm.
I grew up in New York.
Okay. And then how do
I've
you...
heard of that.
Yeah. I've heard of that. So yeah. It's not just a rumor, but that place. It's a real place, huh? Is that what's it like being from New York and now, you know, living in like most, you know, being a New Yorker and then being in California? I'm always curious to see. There's varied takes on that experience.
I am so happy I'm here and not there, except for this summer. This summer, I feel like I would have rather been there. But we moved here in 2016 before the election.
Right.
So if we had to have lived through Trump in New York, I think we would have been in a really bad mental place.
Sure.
Which I mean, the sun really helped. And if you live in New York, you understand this. Like once winter comes, everything feels like it's over. Like you have to, you missed your opportunity. You squandered the year. And now you have to plan for how you're going to come back in the spring and summer and fall. In LA, you have the benefit of patience and like, okay, so like, you know, it was a nice day today. It was 80 degrees. That's okay. Tomorrow, it'll be a nice day, 80 degrees. It's okay. I can have fun then. I didn't miss out, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that was very helpful for my brain, which, as you can tell, is a little messed up.
Not at all.
Sounds good on my end.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Not a day goes by. Sorry.
There it is.
There it is.
So you're not at the point in your LA life where you start fetishizing the winter and missing the winter and stuff like that. That usually comes around like 10 years in.
Oh, no. It's only been 5. So when that happens, so I don't know if winter will exist in the world. Mm-hmm. But
that's a good point. Yeah.
At that point, I think we'll all have like really wonderful like VR AirPods or something that will replicate, you know, the despair of winter accurately. And I think we'll be okay.
Right.
Right.
Sorry, there's now like yard work going on outside.
That is perfectly appropriate. It's called texture, and we love it on the Daily Zeitgeist. Miles, I meant to tell you that my 5-year-old is now, I think, heading in the direction that you ended up in, where he, because he's never around winter, like just in the past couple weeks, he started like only wanting to read stories about winter. There's like a Avengers story with frost giants, and like all it's one page of like this one children's book that he has, and he like asks me about them every day. So like he's gonna get the very particular type of LA sickness.
Born out of this dry desert, all you want to do is wear jackets because it seems like exotic clothing to you.
Right?
Don't you guys go to Big Bear Lake or whatever?
Yeah, but that's like for like a one off, you know. Like you don't get like sustained periods where like you have to wear like a scarf and things like that. And every person I know who comes from the East Coast, like you don't want that. You don't want that. And I'm like, well, part of me actually doesn't want to be hot all the time either. So you know, too much of one thing can be bad.
The other thing people forget about New York is when it's hot, it's so hot you can't live.
Right.
It's 98 degrees and humid. And like last time I was back home, I had to take a full day off for exhaustion, which had never happened to me. I got excited. I went back and I started like walking everywhere. You know, I was walking places I didn't have to, just back and forth because I could.
Yeah.
And the next day, I had to cancel all of my appointments and I had to lie down on a couch for a bit. So
standard.
New York in the summer is very bad for sweaty people. I would like need to bring a change of clothes everywhere I went. It was bad. I sweat through like entire suits, not just the shirt part. Yeah, not good.
And you also have to have a backpack full of bricks because that's New York.
Yeah, that's important. All right, Anna, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about on the show today. We are going to talk about Sha'Carri Richardson, who failed a weed test, and because of that, might miss the Olympics because that's a, I don't know. Is that a performance enhancing drug? I don't think so.
No.
But they decided to make it a problem. So it is a problem, I guess. Norway has passed a law that requires social media posts to be marked if they're altered. This seems like somewhat quaint to me, like the idea that we could legislate our way out of the hell that we have created online. But I do like that. Bezos, the big news, of course, is heading into the holiday weekend, which is when we're recording this, is that Bezos is going to lose the billionaire space race unless he can pull off some sort of, you know, sabotage, which I wouldn't put it past him.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, he took a big L. Richard Branson is going to beat him. Richard Branson looks like a... like he's drawn into a comic book. Like I was just realizing that, having to look at photographs of him so often, he really does not look like a real human being. He looks like he's in a 90s era Batman comic book or something.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Anna, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Well, recently there are a few things, but the one I'm going to go with is I wanted to see what other people thought of the movie Zola, because I watched it and I enjoyed it. And when I do like a movie, when I don't like a movie, I don't really care what people think. But when I do like a movie, I want to know, you know.
Am I right?
Am I right? Yeah. Please confirm my bias. Please tell me. Because it is a, you know, it's very funny and very scary and very, I'm sure a lot of people are going to find controversy with it. You know, there's a lot there. It's about sex work and, you know, like violence, but also it's a comedy, you know? So I was just like, I really thought it was well done. So I wanted to know. And I think it might've been The Atlantic. Yeah. They said it was great.
There it
is. So I'm right. And everybody else is wrong.
I mean, it seems like it's been getting a lot of good coverage from what I've seen. I haven't seen much where I think people will maybe point to saying that, oh, it's controversial maybe because of the subject matter. But it seems like everything I've read really positive stuff about the film.
Are people going to be saying, is it even considered pretentious to say, I actually read the Twitter thread and I liked the Twitter thread better?
That could be where we're headed.
If you read the Twitter thread, it is the movie. There hasn't been a lot. Well, I think it's mostly based on the article about the Twitter thread, which gives me pause because I'm worried that the rights to the movie were based on the article, which might mean that King didn't get as much money, but I don't know.
Mm.
I hope that's not true. I made that up just now. That's just a worry that I have.
Right.
I mean, she seems to be all over the like premieres and stuff and participating. So
yeah, which makes me think that she got paid, which is great.
But I mean, people know what this is, right? But it was a Twitter thread that told like a wild story like 5 years ago. And then somebody optioned it for a screenplay or optioned the article about it, which I agree. Like, why not just option the writing in the Twitter thread was pretty incredible. Great storytelling. Is that out like in theaters now or
it just came out.
I saw it on Wednesday and it might be the first and last movie I see in theaters, depending on how this Delta variant thing goes.
Right.
But you know, there were like six people in the auditorium. I did not care for that. I mean, it's great for social distancing, but I was like worried, like, is anyone gonna see this movie? My partner and I were laughing most of the way through. Nobody else was. I was like, okay. What's going on? I mean, people are just shy too. And if, you know, if the theater isn't packed and there's not like a nervous giggle, it's not going to reverberate through.
Right.
And we're just like, yes, ha ha, aha, that's good. Ha ha, technically ha, funny. Ha ha. You know, it's like funny, like Succession funny. Which, I mean, you know, Nick Braun is in both and he plays the exact same character. So if you like that kind of humor, which, you know, a lot of people do, Not everybody, but a lot of people do. You'll like this, I think.
He's Cousin Greg?
He's 100% Cousin Greg, yeah.
And then in this, he's like Cousin Greg, but yeah, a drug dealer, right?
No, no, no. He just plays the hapless boyfriend of, in the movie, she's called Stephanie. In real life, I think it's Jessica.
Right.
And he just tags along. I don't know how it compares to real life, but in the movie, he doesn't know what's going on. He's always hanging on to her and going like, is everything okay? Like, you're just here to dance, right? Like, where are you? What's going on? He gets, you know, slapped around a bit. Right.
So just like, a real doofus.
A real loving doofus. Yeah.
Yeah.
A real loving doofus who nobody else loves back.
What a niche. Richard Brody from The New Yorker gave it a 9 out of 10. So that's pretty good. Yeah, this is
hey, maybe
review.
I should write for
you
The
are
New
not
Yorker.
Wrong. Yeah. That?
You should be like, I'm just looking at some of the, I'm just comparing some of my takes with your, I'm saying the same stuff here. So when do I start?
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, so I told you, like, I'm not big online or whatever the kids say. I'm not big online. So
yeah, exactly
I just picked a silly answer. I think bread is overrated, and I want you to fight me over it.
Well, okay. Well, hold on. Fight for it. Fight for it first. Let me know what we're up against. It's overrated.
I dropped it. I said bread. Bread's overrated. Go. I know everyone loves sandwiches and wraps and toast. Fuck that.
Wow.
Have you tried potatoes? Have you tried rice? Have you tried root vegetables or corn or porridge? Fuck bread. End of story.
What say you to the people who say, well, what about sandwiches? You're just saying, well, fuck sandwiches altogether because they involve bread.
Yeah, fuck sandwiches.
Oh,
you can
wow.
You, whatever's in the sandwich, have it with, I don't know.
Porridge.
Porridge. Have it with fries. Have it with mashed potatoes.
Let me get my
have
cold
it with
cuts
some
and porridge.
Yeah. Get.
I am going to back that specific observation that sandwiches are much more fuck upable. They get fucked up a lot because the bread is like such an important like contingent, and it's so easy to like, it's so often bad that yeah, like have a hamburger patty chopped up over rice or French fries or whatever you want. Like,
wait, Jack, you're saying you're abandoning sandwich culture right now, here and now. This is where you've arrived.
I've just had like a run. I've had a run of bad sandwiches, Miles, and I'm not going to take any blame for this. I'm just going to say, like, you know, I recently had a buffalo cauliflower wrap, and I love buffalo cauliflower, and I also ate a like serving of buffalo cauliflower that was just like a side of buffalo cauliflower that my wife had brought home for herself, and I ate it without realizing it was for her. And then she was like, no, I got you the sandwich. So I also ate the sandwich, and the sandwich was so much worse than the side.
There you go.
It was like wet. It was like they had just like put the dregs of the buffalo cauliflower like batch in there. It was like mostly like breading separated from the cauliflower. And it had wet lettuce in there. And it's just like, they just, sandwiches get away with too much shit. I'm not saying that I don't like sandwiches. I'm saying that sandwiches are too easy to fuck up. I need a solid recommendation if I'm going to go in for a sandwich. I'm not just going to assume that you're going to make a good sandwich.
Yeah, if the bread is good, it's great. But
fuck bread, I thought. Hold on, we have to be intellectually consistent here. But
I said
fuck bread, I thought.
I am, Miles. I am, okay? Overrated.
Uh-huh.
Overrated.
Yeah. Right,
fuck it
okay.
Because
overused.
It's overrated.
Fuck it because everyone thinks it's the meal
it's
of
the It's a be-all, end-all.
Yeah.
And this is not just because Adam brought a bunch of bread home and I was like, I said I don't want bread. This is not because of that.
Yeah.
Why are you saying that? Miles, that's not where this idea came from.
Yeah. And any suggestion thereof is
slander.
I stand with sandwiches. I always will. And, you know, I won't let a couple reckless sandwiches completely turned me off from the experience of experiencing true sandwich love.
Okay. All right. I'm just a guest here.
No, so. I mean, that's very basic thinking. That's what I would expect. You know, I've moved beyond sandwiches, man. I'm beyond it. I live in a post-sandwich reality.
Jack, he'll figure it out or he won't, you know? Let him do him. Yeah.
Everyone's on their own journey. Everyone has to walk
their own
path.
That's his journey, not ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But like Bon Oui, Miles, that's a little sandwich shop right around the corner from where we work. They specialize in bread and their bread is fucking great. Like that's the sort of place that I'm going for a sandwich. I am not going to like just any place and letting them think they can make me a sandwich.
Can you imagine that attitude? You're in a fucking deli or something. You're like, first of all, can you tell me why like I should trust you? No, like fuck the menu. Why should I trust you, first of all, with my sandwich experience? Because if this is fucked up, I'm going to lose it in here.
Like I said a turkey and cheese. I said nothing about the bread, asshole.
Give me loose turkey and cheese on that deli paper.
I want a whole turkey and I want a whole cheese.
And a whole cheese.
Just
baby.
That big block.
One of your cheeses, sir. Anna, what is something you think is underrated?
Oh, gosh. Science.
Mm.
I think science is underrated. Even, in circles where we might, you know, constantly say something like, believe science, believe in science. I believe science, you know, especially around COVID. I think we forget that, like, everything around us is science currently. I'm talking to you because of science. I had hot water this morning because of science. Even fire is science. And
I think it's just like people, if you're on that, what about science? Just because some people told you this, you're saying, well, zoom out a bit and think of the millennia of experiences from learned people and experimentation that has delivered us to this moment. And based off the strength of that, you should fuck with science.
And again, you know, there's good science, there's bad science, there's poorly researched science, you know,
weird science even.
This isn't bread, so there's nuance here. But it is underrated because we don't think about it enough, I think.
Right.
We just take for granted everything that happens around us day to day. And we don't usually, you know, they say stop and smell the roses, like stop and look around you and like notice that. Whether you're in a good situation or bad, it's because of science.
On some level,
stop and smell the Wi-Fi, bro.
Yeah, wake up and smell the Wi-Fi.
Stop and take a whiff of these semiconductors.
There you go.
I just, you know, I like I said, I'm gonna be. I'm not online. I don't know what the kids are saying. So I'm
no,
just
they're saying
throw
this.
It out there.
They're saying we love bread and we don't like science, and I think we've kind of nailed it for sure.
Yeah, I wrote down, you like headache medicine? Science.
Boom. That's true. I do.
We do exist on like the shoulders of billions and billions of like brilliant advances and things people had to like live and die for, like in the scientific world. And we just take it completely for granted, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be able to. We'd just be running around being like, whoa, all the time. But
I mean, you know, even whoever the lady was who tapped a tree and realized it helped with pain or whatever.
Yeah.
They invented aspirin, you know, like whoever realized that, like, you know, if you add some grains and liquids to a tub, it turns into beer eventually, and learned how to repeat that. Scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. I mean, also, hey, bread, too. Bread is science.
Bread? Bread is a product of science, but fuck bread. It's overrated.
Yes, thank you.
Consistent. I like it.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
And we're back. And so are the Olympics. Apparently, they're still happening, still coming up.
No matter what.
Doesn't seem like it. But they, the Olympics, taxes, and death, the things that we will never escape. Mm-hmm. But the Olympics are coming, and probably the athlete I think most people were expecting to be like the Michael Johnson of these Olympics, Sha'Carri Richardson. Like, she's a track and field superstar from America who was, like, you know, top two, top three favorites to win the 100 meter dash, become the fastest woman in the world. And she has now been suspended from that race because she smoked weed.
Yep. She tested positive for THC in a test that she took a few days after the qualifiers. And, you know, again, according to the World Anti-Doping Agency, it's banned during in-competition periods. These are the laws and the time frame that begins at 11:59 the day before the competition starts. And like they say, like, you have a certain amount, but up until that window, the rules change. And this, so she popped on this test, and now because you know, the US Track and Field Association goes with these same, they're signatories to the World Anti-Doping Agency, like, charter and shit, that they enforce these laws as well. So that for the US side, the penalty can be anywhere from 1 month to a 2-year ban. But so in the most, if she doesn't appeal, and let's say they give her 1 month, her ban would technically end right before, like, the track events start. But the thing is, because she tested positive, that means her qualifying time is negated. So she is not going to be running in the 100 meter just individual race. So that means alternates, the people who are in, now the fourth place finisher has moved on to the team, and the fifth place person has now become an alternate from the qualifiers. And the best, right now, as it stands, the only chance she has is to participate in the 4x1 relay, because the track association is able to select people to participate in that. So this is, like, really, this is just completely fucked up. The things that I think a lot of people remember from her qualifying win was just her words about everything she had gone through to arrive at this moment, having the support of her family, that her biological mother had passed away days before. The thing is, she was told by a reporter, that her biological mother passed away. That's how she found out. And that was when she went and, you know, enjoyed some weed or whatever, just to, you know, deal with hearing this from some other person just out of the blue. And now she's looking at completely losing her shot at participating in the Olympics. And it's just so fucking dumb. Like, I get that the rules are the rules, but this is just such this like anti-weed stuff. It like our prohibition on marijuana is just so built around this pseudoscientific racist nonsense. Because let's be real, this is not a performance enhancing drug. The only fucking performance it's enhancing is like you watching a clip of Santana on YouTube or some shit. Or like if you play a guitar, this night you're not seeing the Matrix in a track race and now your fucking muscles are working overtime. So it's just like really disheartening and just sort of underlines just how behind we are in so many ways.
Or if you're hosting a podcast about 90 Day Fiance, I should chime in on your behalf there.
But that's not an Olympic event yet.
It's truly baffling. Like, alcohol is not a, like, if it, I guess you can't test for alcohol, but it's not a banned substance. And other than your coach probably telling you not to do it because it's not going to make you faster. And I would assume marijuana is the same way. It's really strange, but not strange, I guess, to be expected based on like the history of racism around marijuana.
And the present racism around marijuana.
Yeah. I mean, we always
talk about it as past tense of, you know, why marijuana was banned in the first place, you know, anti-Black, anti-Mexican sentiments and all that. And it's like, where we have not even scratched the surface of, you know, the constant stigma that's still associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a short clip of her saying, you know, like, this isn't, I'm still young. I'm gonna figure it out. I still have a lot of races ahead of me, you know, to that effect. And I'm just gonna, I'll be back, you know?
Yeah.
Gosh, it's so fucked up in every single way. And I just constantly feel like everyone who speaks out about it says a thing and then nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we'll weigh in, we'll throw in our two cents and go like, yeah, this is clearly, you know, discrimination and they're picking on people and it's, but then nothing happens. Like we all know the facts. We all know this isn't a performance enhancing drug. We all know why it was banned in the first place. We know why alcohol was unbanned, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
Or maybe not. Like sometimes that gets murky, you know, like prohibition ends because of, you know, pressure from probably some corporate shit and there's just not enough of it here.
Right.
Or it's cultural, different people, right? Like it's just fucked up in every way. And I'm sorry that I'm ranting and all I can do is curse about it. But
well, no, I mean it's frustrating because you look at somebody who is performing to the best of their abilities, you know what it means to them, and then for them to just get caught up in these relics of racist just nonsense to fuck up your chances to represent the fucking country. You'd think like this country's so focused on winning. They'd be like, shut the fuck up. Who cares if you're smoking weed? This person's going to win the fucking gold medal in the 100 meters. And that's what we're about, to put our best athletes out there. But we're still so intertwined with these backwards laws. And I don't know why, you know, again, we are having this conversation, but the powers that be aren't, because I think at the end of the day, you realize that they're not interested in understanding what is equity or what is actually fair or not. They're probably
having mechanisms of suppression. They like having that in place. They like they like playing that dumb game of chess that they think they're playing where they're outsmarting everybody. And we all can see through it. It's just that they're still in power and they could still make the rules and change them at will. So, you know, if a certain person is caught, you know, having an affair, it can be a huge scandal. If Trump, well, I mean, I don't know, the whole Cosby thing, it's like, 35 women came out against him and still it was overturned. So like, it's the rules
Trump
just
is
apply.
In the 20s. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Trump is in the 20s. Like the rules just don't fucking apply as long as you have the money to support or just the power structure. It makes absolutely no sense. The Olympics are also just, you know,
straight trash.
Yeah. And also to have that reporter question this athlete and go like, you know, are you going to apologize? Like, what are you going to do? Like, how do you feel? How do you tell us about how you disappointed everybody, whatever. Like, you know, she's going home and drinking a boxed wine after that. Like, or like taking whatever pills her doctors prescribed her. And because those are legal, she's fine. And this girl smoked weed in a legal state.
After finding
not on the day that she's competing either, right? Like, marijuana stays in your system for a bit. Okay.
Yeah. And
that's such a good point. Fucking reporter. Like probably. Yeah. And it is really frustrating to see like the way it's being covered by the media, the AP, like unquestioningly just be, you know, and then it almost feels like she's like, okay, yeah, I own what I did. I made a mistake and like, I'll bounce back. But like, it's just like, why isn't anyone saying the obvious thing that this is fucking
tear this
so
shit
stupid.
Down. Tear this.
And she didn't make a mistake. She didn't make a mistake. I would say she's practicing self-care in a tough situation.
Right.
And taking care of herself while she's dealing with all this, you know, familial and mental stress.
Yeah.
With all of the pressure, the full pressure of her being this star athlete that's going to go represent a country that barely respects her. That's a lot of pressure. And if all you do is smoke a little weed, holy shit.
Right. Yeah.
Like how strong are you to just, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and it's only a mistake in this narrow, stupid context of being an athlete and all these weird fucking rules that they have that are, let's face it, or mostly we're seeing, you know, athletes of color be punished for these kinds of things. So it makes you frustrated on so many levels, because at the end of the day, this is a human being who, like, you have to allow people to have the, you know, latitude to fucking take care of themselves or whatever. I get it. And especially in a context that isn't running afoul of local laws or putting anyone in danger. So really, who is this protecting? And I think that the way that, you know, Jack, like you're saying, the AP is just going to be like, yeah, well, they violated the laws without being like, yeah, but wait, hold on. What the fuck are these laws, though? Like, what are these regulations for?
And notice she had to say that in her quote-unquote apology. I am a person. I am a human being, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I'm obviously paraphrasing, but she was like, remember, I'm not a
human.
You know, I'm a human. Firstly, not a superhero, but also not your, you know, not yours to do with what you please. Like, I'm only here because someone pushed me in front of the camera and told me I had to be sorry for this, you know?
Right. Otherwise, I want to run.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't even seem legal, to be honest. Because can you really punish somebody for doing something legal days before?
That isn't a performance enhancer.
I'm sure this is going to evolve over the, you know, in the next few days, because, you know, she can appeal, and I'm sure that would be a reason to say, like, I don't know, what do you you want to see somebody run hot, like faster because they're high or whatever? Like, I don't know what that means. Also, I'm going through things. Can you extend some empathy towards me? Also, these laws are nonsense. So what are we doing here? But yeah, I mean, I think the public is definitely like outraged because they see this for what it is. And like, I think for most people now, you know, the majority of society is like, what's the problem with someone smoking weed? Like, what are we talking about here? We're not all our, you know, sixth grade teachers from like the 90s who are like, oh, don't, you're going to ruin your life.
And maybe the silver lining here is that she will maybe be a trailblazer in that way. You know, maybe she is the test case. Maybe she will turn it all around because of public opinion and because of the situation here.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that she will come out of this stronger and more powerful and more successful because of her situation and how she's handling it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's still not fair, but I hope that is the outcome, that she, you know, gets a book deal, gets a movie deal, gets all these statues, you know, like, that might be the outcome. It's just not, it shouldn't have happened. And it shouldn't be happening to everybody in similar situations. So.
And like, that is hopefully a silver lining that people recognize that this shouldn't be fucking rule. But at the same time, like, this is somebody who trains their whole life to compete for these 9 seconds, and which is insane that she can do it in 9 seconds, but like, and to have that taken away from them is just so fucking cruel. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And what's also this idea of like the substances being banned comes from like this paternalistic sort of perspective, like, well, we're looking after the athletes too, like, what's best for them? But it's like, well, then you have a lot more shit on there if you're purely interested in the health of the athletes, because it doesn't look like that, and it just rings hollow. So, you know, honestly, I hope that they realize they need Sha'Carri Richardson at these Olympics, you know, even though, you know, fuck the Olympics, they're such a tortured event. But I hope you can run, Sha'Carri.
That's a great wrap up of this topic.
Fucking earth.
All right, let's talk real quick about something that I think we can take a little solace in, is that Jeff Bezos feels a little shitty today. That
was even tinier. Like,
a little tiny, little tiny man. So Jeff Bezos, you know, had announced, hey, I'm going to space, and like touching it real quick, and then coming back on July 20th. And the rumors immediately started that Richard Branson was like, hell no, and decided that he had to be the first one, and like scrambled his like billionaire jets to like get everything together to go before him. So now Branson is going to be flying July 11th, 9 days before Bezos. I just hope that this like keeps going. Bezos is like, I'm going tomorrow. And then they just all go up in flames.
That'd be cool. Well, I remember, you know, that first video came out with Bezos saying, I'm going to be the first commercial flight with my clone brother that you only have him around to harvest his organs. Or maybe he's my brother. I don't know. And then, Richard Branson just came through. And also, he just put out this video announcing, he's like, guess what, asshole? I'm beating you by 9 days to space to be the first loser to fucking ignore the problems of the planet I live on for a quick ego hit. But he put out this video, and it's like, it's way better than Jeff Bezos's, and more in the sense that like it has like the slickness and the production value. I remember when you would fly Virgin America and that pre-flight safety video they used to do, that was like the full-on musical and shit. We're like, we're going the skies, we're doing it right. And then like people were like doing the robot
would have,
and
like,
shit.
Club lighting in the plane.
Yes. This is the swag of the Branson video, and I just want to play a clip of it because like it's done in this way that is such a aggressive fuck you to Jeff Bezos, because like it's more than just saying he's going to space. So first it starts off where it's like talking about like there's two pilots and then three astronauts, and it's done in like really the lighting is amazing. It looks like Monday Night Football, like these towering figures like looking very heroic. And I just love the reveal when we get to Richard Branson, because he's just owning the moment.
Evaluating cabin procedures during boost. And
so these are intros to the different astronauts.
002, Beth Moses. I'll be spaceship cabin lead and test director.
Branson looks like
astronaut
a hero.
001, Woo! Richard Branson. I'll be evaluating the customer spaceflight experience. As the Virgin Galactic founder, I am so proud to have this remarkable crew of mission specialists and pilots by my side as we fly to space. I've always been a dream.
All right, it goes on and does the other thing, but I just love that they were counting down. Astronaut 003, astronaut 002, and then the fucking 001. Just like, fuck you, Jeff. I'm astronaut 001.
Number one,
out
baby.
Here. Dick Branson, do something.
Also,
I
he's
love
got
the
all his
Bruce
hair.
Springsteen energy of it all. You know, the music is so on point. It's so retro, but so futuristic, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's truly amazing. Like, the balls, because like these are all astronauts who have earned their way there, like through doing like astronaut things and science things, the things that get you into space. And then when it gets to, first of all, making himself astronaut 001, but also the video like does a slow like move up his body as he's like walking into the room. Like the other ones are just like, hi, it's me. Hi, it's me. Hi, it's me. And then it's like, doof, doof. Like he rolls in like it's fucking Schwarzenegger in that like Bad to the Bone scene. Like they're like fetishizing him, like going like toe to head, like slow pan up.
And then he's got like, Chuck Norris energy too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And Chuck Norris neck.
Oh yeah, classy Chuck.
I love like a space roll call. Me, where I build rockets. And me, I shoot lasers. And me, I'm rich.
I go on vacation with Obama is my friend. You're like, okay, and I will be going to space. I love how he still even look at the end of the day, he's still just like, and I'm here to make sure that the experience for you, the customer, is going to be like, this dude is still a salesman.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like the, Bezos
I'm,
drinking
I'm
beers.
The number one person on this spaceship because I'm here to make sure you'll be here and happy.
Right.
Ding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
must have a deposit of $150,000.
Hey, that's not bad.
And also,
y'all want to pitch in?
Yeah. Crowdsource it.
Also, he like is charming in the video, which is like I think that is a flex. He's showing off his hair. He's got his hair, you know, in full effect.
Oh, could you imagine that's such a they power went move. In? They were like, yeah, here's a like a microscopic video of Richard Branson's scalp. It's impeccable. Your move, Bezos. And it's like, oh, what the hell?
You think they'll do like a Mr. Show, like back and forth, like now there's going to be another video from Bezos where he has even bigger hair and like the spacesuits are even a brighter blue.
Right.
And the music rocks a little bit harder.
Right. Only for Richard Branson to be like, and to introduce me to space is Migos. And it's like a live performance. It's like, wait, what?
Yep. And then Bezos comes back. I got Beyonce. She's coming to space with me.
Oh, fuck. That would fuck Richard Branson up.
She's astronaut zero.
He's like, he gave it up to Beyonce.
Oh, sorry. You thought astronaut one was it? No, 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 no. We got zero. Oh, hell yeah, man. I mean, this is our reality, though, you know? It's like we live in just a giant... The globe is a vanity project for these just infinitely vain and wealthy humans. So
yeah.
Yeah. They watched all of those movies from, like, the 80s and 90s about how bad, you know, rich people are. Like, you know, like Dead Zone or RoboCop or... Right. You know, Total Recall or Running Man. And they were like, all of that, please, today.
But I bet in their mind, they're like, yeah, but the difference is I'm not going to wear a suit like those bad guys did. So I'm different. I wear jeans. And you're like, okay, and?
Indeed. That is the sound that sums up that story.
So yeah. Can I take back science as underrated?
Yeah.
If these jokers are just fucking around with it.
I'm just going to be sitting here eating bread and crying. Cancel this podcast episode.
Also, the picture that they like the, you know, sitcom publicity still of all the astronauts hanging out. He's got his like arms around the two women. I noticed or like the so, you know, it's just like it's Branson, baby. It's
likes to make everything sexy.
I didn't see the end of that video. Does he jump out of a window? Does he crash through it and then fly away in a jetpack?
Yeah.
Goodbye.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And this Norway law is more bad news for influencers, I guess. I assumed it was like to try and stop like deep fakes and like, you know, or like political, like altered images. But This is actually that they're saying no, like if you alter an image, it's like for to make yourself look better, then you have to like let us know.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a thing that, you know, this has been discussed in Norway a lot. Like they call it body pressure, which is sort of that, you know, it's having a huge effect on the self-esteem of young people because mass media and influencer culture has people just chasing ghosts in the form of like just impossible bodies or, you know, looks or skin and things like that. And without, you know, they think the insidious thing is most people ingest this stuff without realizing this is all fake. This is touched up. This is not how they looked on the day. There's a lot of editing that goes into that. And this is really to combat that because I think they're seeing this correlation between the two. And I think this has just been happening since, you know, we've just been hypersexualized in media and things like that. So this law is saying any photo where, quote, a body's shape, size or skin has been changed by retouching or other manipulation must be marked as edited. So this is for advertisers. But then it goes on to say that if you're a celebrity or an influencer and you are accepting money and posting like in an advertisement of some sort and you are editing the photos, then they must also be labeled. And so the examples are like, you know, enlarged lips, narrowed waists, exaggerated muscles. But it's not clear, like, what that means, if, like, lighting will count, you know, like, if you're doing things to just darken, like, saturation or other things that you could do without maybe directly altering it. But it's, you know, mostly been received really well. I think even in the legislators themselves said the one thing that they could see happening is that perhaps, you know, like the backlash could be people opting for more cosmetic surgery to like move work around that. But I don't know if that's necessarily that big of a concern, more than saying that it's important to let people know when the things you are seeing are not, you know, the sincere and what we would normally see with our eyes.
Right. I mean, that makes sense. That's laudable. I use a lot of Facetune, like, to the point that people don't know what I
we
look like.
Yeah, because you have no features. So literally, we don't know what we're like. I don't know. It's all flat.
I really thought Jack was an egg when I met him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was only a couple of hours ago. And I was like, wow, a talking egg. Now I've seen everything.
But my skin looks great. You have to admit, like, my skin looks
your
like
shell looks amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Hardly porous.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean, you know, like I said, I live in Hollywood. It's probably not going to change anything here, but I do think it might make a lot of sense elsewhere. You know, if you're not on TV, if it's not your job to do that, you shouldn't have to wake up screaming in the middle of the night that you're not, you know, that you don't look like Kim Kardashian. I think psychologically we've done a lot of damage to young people. I mean, I could be overreacting. That could be something that people just say every 10 years as they age.
Yeah, but it seems pretty aggressive these days now, like with how normal it seems, like, you know, just looking at influencers online and what that world looks like. You're like, are these people, like, do they only have time to eat like kale and do push-ups?
Absolutely not. And here's the thing, like that old joke, like, you know, New York 8 or whatever, or is it the other way around? LA 8, New York 10, that kind of, right. You know, which is like so disgusting. But like, you got to imagine that, like, now confronted with those images constantly, and not just from celebrities, but people in high school, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're all tuned up, and these kids have to be like, I will never be enough.
Yeah.
You know, I will never be pretty enough to have 10,000 followers. And so no one will ever give me a purse for free or whatever, you know.
Right.
No one will ever pay for my brunch, and I'll never get to say that it was that I'm an influencer. Like, I thought there were too many like aspiring actor writers now because of like YouTube and TikTok. But now everybody thinks they're also a model. And then it puts all this. You know, we've already realized that that is a bad thing, right? That like image is toxic, and that it really undermines people's other qualities, like, you know, talents, intelligence, you know, emotional and otherwise. But now it's part of, like, it's just ingrained. You're like, oh, you want to be a doctor? Are you pretty doctor? Do you want to be successful on Wall Street? You got to look like this Instagram post of successful.
Right.
I don't know. I'm making that up, Miles. I'm just ranting now.
No, but it is sort of like this thing that we're reducing the options for people on what it means to be happy or successful when all you're being is, if, depending on what sort of subculture or media culture you're sort of interacting with, that you'd be like, I don't know, like, everyone has to be hot, I guess. And that's like the only currency that we have is it's just like how many likes can you get, or do you look good enough to get followers in this narrow context, more than just a larger thing of like embracing that we're all human beings and we're all going to be different. And there's no one right or wrong way. It's that we just have to embrace the diversity of, you know, human life, rather than just treating it like this, like, well, there are the three body types. Super ripped, hot as fuck, or nasty as shit. And it's like,
Wait, is nasty as shit still good or bad?
See, that depends. I think that's where
the other bucket.
Okay.
The other bucket, okay. Yeah. So then if you're not the other two, then you're in low self-esteem town, when it should just be like, I don't know, everyone's worthy. And we have to stop like worshiping these, like, you know, these types, these figures.
It's so strange because to me, social media has also opened that up as well. Right. Where people of all stripes get to go like, this is me. This is, you know, this is me loving my, like, you might have never seen me. And I have a phone now too. Look at me, you know?
Right.
And so it has set the stage for a little bit more variety in what we get to see, because it's not based on, you know, what one Hollywood producer thinks is something everyone should look at.
Right.
But then all these apps are setting us back. They are, you know, everybody makes fun of the apps that like turn your eyes blue and your hair blonde and all, like, how is that not completely, utterly racist? Mm. Like, it's kind of making fun of it, but it's not. It's like people are actually like doing that, looking at it, going like, oh, you know. And, you know, there are surgeries now, laser surgeries that can make your eyes blue and do all kinds of weird shit. Like, are kids looking at that going like, maybe I'll get that?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that the bigger problem is just social media and the, like, the sort of function of social media, the sort of structure of social media, because, like, there's still going to be impossibly hot people like that who are everybody's looking at on social media. So that's like one thought I had as I was like kind of getting my mind around the story, is like, is this just good for like the very hot people who like don't use Facetune, and like is this taking money away from somebody who is able to, I don't know,
use technology in a smart way?
Yeah It can't be good to like create a altered like reality that's putting pressure on people. At the same time, I feel like there's always going to be people who we look at on social media and are like, that person looks amazing. Why don't I look like that? And, you know, that there's going to be a supply of those people that social media will be able to force down people's throats unless something changes about the culture. Right.
I feel so out of my depth here, because we are so, like, from birth almost fed all of these images and standards that we spend our entire lives trying to conform to. And at where do you draw the line, right? Like, I have no idea what my life would be like if I just was born outside of society.
Right.
You know, and like how I would feel about myself as a person. I'd be like, oh, look, I'm strong and my voice makes weird noises. That's kind of neat. Like, you know, just like this curiosity about yourself is completely lost when we, you know, we want to be social. And then obviously social media has distorted it in these ways that only benefit marketing people and people who own things that they want you to buy. And, you know, it's all capitalism. And I don't know. I mean, I think it just, maybe that fear that people will just alter their bodies physically is real. Mm-hmm. And then those people benefit. Maybe there's a lot of dermatologists who are pissed off that now you can just tune your face.
Right.
Right.
Maybe that's why they did this.
Big dermatology making this move. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like big derm, like, you know, we in Norway. Yeah, we in Norway are very, you know, we have a lot of saunas and we have a lot of seaweed creams that we want to peddle, and this might be good for us.
Right.
I don't know, like, and maybe that's what we're perpetuating right now. I don't know. It's
very
so impossible to say.
Well, it's good to have Norway as our guinea pig, you know?
Right.
Maybe.
See how it does. Maybe if they're all happy in a year, we can try it.
There's like this shift, though, even when you see with Gen Z, though, too, like they don't really fuck with Instagram because they kind of see it as, you know, this chuggy fucking thing where people go to sanitize their lives and pretend that shit's all good when it isn't. And so with TikTok, like a lot of interesting accounts are a lot of people just like showing you what they do. You know, like they're like, I work as, you know, as a like a sanitation worker, and this is what it's like. And people are really interested in like the real, like the reality of people's like day to day lives or things like that. Granted, there's always going to be people in that sort of beauty lane as well. But I think a lot of people just feel like it's just the stuff that's there is different. And it's not like, you know, Instagram, I think, was, you know, just for in this narrow context, the place where people could very much distort who they were and, you know, broadcast that outwardly.
For now. Yeah. I'm going to throw a wrench in your machine, because as Gen Z ages, they're going to want to find a way to feel young again. And that might be, you know, adding some TikTok features that make you look cuter, because deepfake is just going to get better. Something else that we can't predict because it hasn't happened yet.
I think like just like with that sort of beauty culture or like racism, each generation will maybe have it just a little bit less. But it's not to say that it'll be completely gone, because I think at the end of the day, we're still operating in these very distinct, aggressive media environments, which can only, you know, have some kind of effect on us, you know, in the long term.
I will just leave you with this warning, I guess, because I guess that's my job here. I don't know why I said that. never assume it's going to get better in any way. Right. You always have to, you know, watch out for those pitfalls. Just because something seems like it's on the right track doesn't mean another Trump doesn't come along and set us back.
I'm under no illusions that work is done in any way, but everything because all I see, especially, you know, as a minority living in this country, is everything is gradual and incremental. Nothing is happening quickly. And most people would love to go into the magical thinking that the problems are done and solved. But, you know, I am heartened to see that values are shifting, certainly from when I was 19, where I was all in on, you better look a certain way, you better have your body look in a certain way. And there was absolutely no question around that and how toxic that is. But yeah, I know, but I totally understand your point.
I mean, you kind of see it though, right? Like, the 20s feel like they're 100 years ahead of the 50s in America, right? Mm-hmm. The 60s and 70s feel so progressive compared to the 80s. I'm just terrified that, like, even when we win, it's going to backslide. So, you know, there was a point where women were feeling like, oh, maybe I don't have to wear makeup. I don't have to shave. I don't have to, you know, please a man. And that was millennials. And then now that's wrong. That's not the thing anymore. Now it's face tuning. Right. And now it's, you know, bright red lipstick like I always wear, because I'm like, I don't know. It's so confusing. It's just, it's whatever they tell us to do it. And even if you're resistant to it, eventually it trickles down and you find yourself buying snail cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just expensive.
The Dark Ages came after the, you know, ancient Greeks and the ancient Roman, like, classics. So it's possible and happens all the time that things go in a very backwards, fucked direction.
You're a very astute egg, a very astute, smart, sentient egg person.
Yeah.
Oh man, that means a lot. Well, Anna, it's been a pleasure having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
Please follow at Left Handed Radio everywhere. We're a sketch comedy podcast, usually not this serious. At The Actual Anna on Twitter, although I will warn you, I don't tweet a lot. But yeah.
Nice. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I'll call out my old buddy Dan Chamberlain, who used to be part of Left Handed Radio. He's at AMFMPM, and he had a tweet recently that was really struck me funny. The world's your oyster. Expensive. Smells bad.
That's great. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiance, where our podcasting performances are enhanced by the demon marijuana strains of weed. So check that out. Tweet I like is from Andrew Nadeau. The Andrew Nadeau tweeted, imagine you were a vampire nowhere near the Middle East and don't know who Jesus is, but the day after he dies, you got to figure out why lowercase t's start hurting. It's like how unfair that is. Like, what's going on? How?
What the fuck? Tweet I've been enjoying. I loved that Dick Vitale, so The Onion posted a headline that was NCAA announces plans to let players make money off Dick Vitale's likeness. And Dick Vitale, the just incredibly annoying NCAA, like, basketball play-by-play, or I guess color guy, retweeted that article and said, "This is cool, brought joy to my heart, as it is about time the players can make some money." So he thought that was real. He's living in a reality where they, I don't know what reality he's living in. And yeah. Brody Gupta tweeted, "Pop goes the weasel. What the fuck are you talking about?" You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we sending them to today?
This is a track from DJ St. Thomas. We wrote out on another DJ St. Thomas track maybe a month or two ago, because this album has such good summer vibes to it. And it's just music you play. And for someone who's been cooped up in a house for a long time, sometimes you hear music and you're like, I think I'm at a party right now based on this song I'm listening to. And this is the power of this track by DJ St. Thomas. It's called 323, like the area code. Shout out LA. But yeah. DJ St. Thomas, 323, have a party in your ears with this one.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And hey, we'll talk to you then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.